Extra Points is presented by FanDuel Sportsbook. There's no better place to make every moment more than with FanDuel. It has great odds and markets for the NBA, NFL, PGA Tour, and so much more. Awesome new and existing user promotions. It's America's number one sportsbook. Why, you ask? Because it's easy to use, because it's safe and secure, and because you get your winnings fast. Now, winnings are delivered in as quick as 2 hours, and it's fun to combine multiple bets from the same game into a same-game parlay. Discover the most popular same-game parlays each day right when you log in. And if you're new, just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app to get started now. Sign up with promo code Extra Points so they know I sent you. Let's start the show.
Welcome to Extra Points. Now here's your host, Cousin Sal, and his good, good pals, Dave Damashek and Martin Weiss.
All right, welcome to the Extra Points podcast, part of the Extra Points podcast network. Cousin Sal coming to you on a Monday morning. Spaghetti and meatballs fiddling with the knobs. Babyface Joel Solomon producing this mess. And joined to me, as always, my dear, dear pals, Dave Damashek, Martin Weiss. What are we looking at, fellas? June 27th. I kind of feel like my summer gets to start. It starts today as I'm officially done with eight-year-old baseball for a bit. That is it. The my son's eight and under Green Machine team lost to Los Alamitos 11-9 the finals. They don't get to move on to the regionals, and that's that. I feel I'm freed. At some point though, the parents cared more than the kids. Check. It got a little pathetic.
Yeah, I know that is indicated by what you pointed out a few weeks back, that within your son, again, how old is he? 8 years old.
8 years
and
old.
And grown up people have the ability to trade these 8 year olds from one little league team to another, which is insane to me. In fact, I was talking with your pal, Lindsay Rhodes, about this. You guys have kids on the same team there. And I encouraged her to and you should do it too. You guys should start a whole fantasy league, you know, that the nation can track.
Oh, that's pretty good.
If we're weird enough that we watch strangers who play football, baseball, or otherwise, why can't we do it with 8 year old kids and have fantasy league?
And by the way, Lindsay's as into the stats as in 8 year old baseball as she is with the NFL football. She's like, do you realize Harrison, my son, she's like, do you realize he has a 1.83 ERA this summer? I was like, yeah. It's 1.78, but that's great.
I just want to know what the odds are that Harrison remains on this team, or is he going to pull a Kyrie? Like, is there going to be a sign and trade? Like, is he going to go to arbitration? Like, what's going to happen as he goes into his, third grade season, his ninth-year-old season?
Yes, that's right. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, he has a lot of choices. He's gonna mull it over. He's got an agent. And so, Baby Doll Dixon is representing him. I will say, before we move on, we could talk about Kyrie. I am getting blamed for this loss because, they had like five games this weekend and they came back from five runs down twice. And a lot of it was because I brought Lucky Charms to the game. You know, these parents, they like to booze it up during games with Bloody Marys. We had back-to-back 8 a.m. games Saturday and Sunday, and then more throughout the day. So they got the breakfast burritos. Sheck, I know you're not a big fan, but they got the Bloody Marys. And I brought Lucky Charms. I'm like, hey, everybody reach into the Lucky Charms and pull out a handful. Maybe you get a marshmallow. And then it did start
everybody
a
communal one?
I know. People are like a little weirded out by it at first, but when it produced the first five-run rally, they're like, yeah, bring those back. Guess who forgot the freaking Lucky Charms yesterday morning? I did, and we lost 11-9. So
there's only one real question, Sal, that I have for you.
Yeah.
Are the sausages in patties or in links in those breakfast burritos?
Sheck, I was thinking about it, and I think you're kind of doomed, especially here in California, because the breakfast burrito's not going away. And the breakfast sandwich is not going away. And if it's going to trend in any direction, your link sausage. I love the link sausage too. I don't think it's going
to
be.
Don't
less
try
and less,
to get me down.
Less
that's
and less
thinking,
useful.
Thinking.
I'm sorry. It is.
Couple things. Well, I mean, I'm not going down this rabbit hole again. But or am I?
It's a pig hole, I think. Yeah.
Why can't you put a link inside of a breakfast burrito?
Sure you can. You could also wear a left shoe on your left foot and your right foot. Like, why would you?
Oh, yeah.
It just doesn't make any sense. You could do that. You know what I'm saying? You could leave ice cream out on the counter all night. Why would you?
All you can do is look at social media and you see every American weighing in. This is the biggest Well, wait, this isn't the biggest thing happening in our country right now, but perhaps it should be. But yes,
why would you put a link? Breakfast burrito is pretty long. A link would be like a third the size, so you have to fit it perfectly in the center.
I refer you back to my remarks from a week or two ago. Yeah. Who decided you can't take out a knife when there's a hot link to be chopped up? Why does it have to be kept in its pristine?
Because we're on a soccer field drinking Bloody Mary. I'm sorry, baseball field baseball, drinking yeah. Bloody Marys, watching 8-year-olds have like 6 inside the park home runs to overcome a bottom of the 7th inning rally.
Perform surgery on our burritos.
As Homer Simpson I am not a remorseless eating machine. I eat for pleasure. So of course, the first thing that I consider is the quality of what I'm ingesting. A link is better than the patty. End of story. When you started with the Lucky Charms, though, Sal, and then you mentioned booze, I thought, like, you're not telling me parents, you know, put some vodka into their Lucky Charms to enjoy the breakfast game. That would be weird.
No, just a COVID-y handful of Lucky Charms, and it worked until it didn't work when I forgot the box. But anyway.
I wonder if any members of the Colorado Avalanches are going to be eating Lucky Charms or other forms of cereal out of the Stanley
Cup. Pretty good.
That seems like that's an annual tradition.
Boy, it is fun how they love the Stanley Cup and they're kissing the Stanley Cup and they're hugging it and they're making out with the Stanley Cup. And yet it's also like wielded over the head. Like it's the most cared for trophy. And yet it's like, I don't know. It's like kicked around too. I don't even know how to explain it, but the Avs won that Stanley Cup, ousting the Lightning 4-2, 2-1 final last night. Good job by you, Sheck. You picked Cale Makar for Conn Smythe. You took MacKinnon, too. I think it was like midway or early into the Edmonton series, and you said split your money between Makar and MacKinnon for Conn Smythe. You'll make out on the deal, and Makar deservedly won the award.
Yeah, sorry for you. Great pick, though, on the Lightning pre-playoffs. They almost got it done against all odds, but then the Avalanche, congratulations to -3's Kevin Hench, who did pick the Avs well in advance. Yeah. Also, you didn't have to split Makar and MacKinnon with the nice prop available on FanDuel that I touted two weeks ago. Makar and MacKinnon, both with 3 or more goals in the series, paid out at +980 at the time.
Wow. I
offered it up there. So hope you cashed in.
Pretty
on that
good.
As well.
Check was all over it. I don't know what to say. I mean, the Lightning, everyone's like, oh, they're going to run out of gas. They've been on this run for years. They're playing, you know, the whatever, but they're home. They're either home in 100 degrees or they're dealing with the altitude in Colorado. They actually did seem to run out of gas. I don't think they had a shot in the third period until like 9 minutes in. And that was it. All that said, it was a very good matchup. It was 4-2, but 3-1 goal wins for Colorado. It was enjoyable.
Yeah, I hate when people do the new losers here, because they're by definition there is a loser. But it did have, watching the game on Sunday night, you did kind of have that vibe. Even the locals in the arena, very often you hear a lot of boos when the visiting team is celebrating on the ice. You did feel a legit appreciation from the Tampa fans for their team. You know, it was improbable, like we say, to win 2 in a row, let alone to get the 3 straight Stanley Cup finals. That was impressive. And the Avs are, I think, a pretty likable bunch in terms of, if you like hockey, we talk all the time about styles of play by an individual or an entire team that kind of impact the way the whole league tracks. This is good news for the NHL and hockey fans, for the Avalanche, given the way they play, which is to say speed, lots of goals, all that kind of stuff. That portends good things for hockey.
Well, and I want to do, we could look at this FanDuel.com/extra points. They have the odds up there for next year. And, you know, don't hold us to this, but this is a way too early look at 2023. The Avs are favored at 5-1. The Maple Leafs, still give them a shot there. 9-1. The Florida Panthers, 10. And the Lightning, 10-1. Also, the Vegas Knights are 10-1. Spaghetti's Rangers, 20. Meatballs Islanders, 30-1. I'm going to be boring. I'm going to take the Avalanche. Their core is young. They're like, he's 26, right? MacKinnon. Makar is what, 25? I got these
23.
Numbers. 23. He's 23. We can't get his height or his age right. I don't know why. We can't figure it out. But I think Kemper and Kadri, they're like free agents, but they're under the cap enough that they could sign. I mean, now you have a goalie that's not afraid to get far in the playoffs, which is great. I think it's a good value bet because barring, you know, some kind of complete meltdown, they're going to get back to the playoffs. They get back to the playoffs, they're probably about plus 250 or so. So I think right now at 5-1, if you could part with your money for 8 or 9 months, or I guess a year it would be, 5-1's good. Who do you see in that? I just couldn't find. I was going to say the Blues maybe. I don't know. Couldn't pull the trigger on some of these other teams.
Well, my first question is, you say it's boring to pick the Avalanche, the defending champs. Of course, 3 months from now when people are making their preseason picks for next season, or like we're going to do now, the unimaginative always went out. It's always like, I don't know any way that it's not going to be the series we just saw in every sport. It always goes that way. How often, or off the top of your head, Sal, can you summon what the longest odds against a defending champ in any of the four major sports in North America have been? I'd love to see that. Like, who was...
as soon as they won? As soon as they won, you mean?
Yeah, as soon as they won, it's like, oh, there are 5 teams or 10 teams in front of them expected to... Like, the Baltimore Ravens, after they won that Super Bowl with Flacco, was everybody... Did odds makers turn their nose up at them and understand how improbable that run was? Or did even the Ravens benefit from recency bias?
Yeah, I'd have to look at it. This is just pro, right? Because you got college basketball teams that win, and then everybody, their best players graduate or whatever. I'm kidding. Nobody graduated.
Yeah, right.
They just move on. But like Brady didn't retire after his Super Bowl, but there was talk about it. Something like that would have affected the lines. But yeah.
What about when Eli and the Giants, when they won?
That feels like that would have been a potential.
Yeah, I wasn't studying the lines back in those days, but for that wild card to...
Well, anyway, I don't want to get deep in the weeds about that, but I'm pretty sure that Giants team the year after, the second time Eli beat Brady, I think that Giants team was expected to be good, and it really was very good until Plexico shot himself, unless I'm getting my years out of whack there, which very well may be. Obviously, I'm taking the Pittsburgh Penguins at plus 2,000.
What?
Great. No. Among the teams out there, I really do. This is crazy. And I feel like I always say what New York City is to the three other sports, which is the nerve center of the sports. Toronto is the capital of the NHL. And it's funny when I tout Toronto or tout the Leafs, most of Canada gets upset with me and says, nobody likes the Leafs. You don't know what you're talking about if you think that that's the nation's team. Whether they are or not, I'm going to take the Leafs. This was finally the Avs got over the hump. The only thing that bugs me about it is the short odds. They have the second shortest
odds. I know,
odds
it is weird.
Behind the Avs, that's the bummer of it. But still, I will take them. I mean, at some point, this has to stop with the Lightning. So if we eliminate them, and then Florida got exposed as soft, and so I don't know what that does to them spiritually next season, winning the President's Cup and then getting swept by the Lightning.
Yeah.
And I think that the Campbell Conference is loaded up with good... Oh, so is the Wales. I'm prattling. I'll go with the Maple Leafs. How about
that? All right. Yeah, the FanDuel is not considered the curse. That is... bestow the Maple Leafs at all. Listing them, you're right, at 9-1. All right, Spaghetti, your Rangers are 21. I'm going to caution you. The big narrative with the Rangers is, well, whatever, this is gravy. They were ahead of their time. This is a young team. They'll win in the next few years. But I feel like we had the same conversation about the Islanders last year. Spaghetti, 20-1.
I don't agree with the... I mean, the Islanders, I don't want to ruffle any feathers here. I know we have some fans on the show, but I don't think the Islanders team was pretty bereft of talent, and I just didn't understand why they were so high up there. The Rangers, I felt like they could have been in the mix with like the Flames and the Wild at plus 1800. I think putting them with the Penguins at plus 2000 is kind of offensive to me. But those are teams that are trending in different directions. So I don't understand that. I do like Sheck's pick of the Leafs a lot at plus 900. The one team that has pretty high odds that I actually think could surprise people next year. And I was wrong about them this year. I thought that the Ducks and the Kings are going to actually flip flop. flop. I thought the Ducks were going to be a team that was going to surprise everyone, some young talent. But the Kings had the much better season, obviously. But the Ducks are plus 8,000. I think the Ducks have some good young talent. I think they could surprise us next year, too. But not saying to win the Cup, but I do like them to be a playoff team. But, I mean, look, I think the Rangers will be in the mix, too. But I do like the Leafs pick. They were my pick last year in our preseason show we did. And I think outside of their goalie issues from a little portion of the season with Campbell, if they figure that out, I think they're a pretty strong
team. You can't even take the Rangers to win the conference. This is unbelievable. All right. Meatballs, quickly, you want to respond to any of that vitriol that Eddie sent all our different ways?
I'll let the Islanders do the talk when the season comes. I will be betting them, but I do like Edmonton at 20-1.
Edmonton,
next year.
Yeah, it is weird that no one's mentioned them. They were only a couple games away from making the finals, right? Or actually, more than a couple. But what'd they lose that series? Is it 4-1 or 4-2?
They got swept.
4-0. Yeah, that's right. Okay. All right. Four games from making the finals, but 20-1. Yeah, they're going to be the darling pick. All right, there you go.
But before you move on, great was it? I got to say, first of all, Cale Makar, like we talked about, it's not an ingenious sleuth to identify the Cale Makar in the last 2 months has really, ascended to not just, boy, he's definitely first team NHL. He is on the track to, like, the talk that Aaron Donald has gained in football, I think Cale Makar is that now. Like, the over the course of the next 15 years, the buzz will continue.
He's 5 foot four. Where does he rank? Spaghetti says he's 5'4".
He did say something about
it. You know what's funny? No, Spaghetti said he's
5'11", I think.
Yeah, he is 5'11". I'd listened to -3, but I had only listened to like the first half hour when Spaghetti's like, Cale Makar is 5'8". And so then I brought that to Against All Odds, and they're like, really? Is he? And then we looked it up. It's like 5'11". I hadn't listened to the last 15 minutes when Spaghetti had corrected himself. So a lot of the Against All Odds was talking about 5'8", Cale Makar. But we theorized that Eddie just thinks everyone is smaller than him. He thinks Altuve's 4'10", so it doesn't matter. He's gigantic.
Have you seen the guy? He's built like a house.
I know, he is.
Wait a second, but this is an NHL player, not a baseball player. This is a good one now. The Spaghetti Challenge. Here we go.
Spaghetti?
Can you beat up Eddie Spaghetti? Can you beat up the reigning Norris champion, Conn Smythe winner, and ascendant legend in NHL, Cale Makar?
On land.
I'd have to see him. I'd have to see him like shirtless to understand. I have to see him just like without the pads.
Always wants to see these guys shirtless. Unbelievable. Yeah,
I'll look at him. I mean, that was kind of the knock against him as he was brought into the league. It's the reason why he played college hockey over playing juniors is because of his frame. I was wrong about the size, but he's a lanky dude. I mean, I'm sure if I got him to the ground, it wouldn't be great for him.
Right, and this is on land, right? Because I know guys who make claims that they could beat guys hockey players up on land, and they have nightmares of the players like dragging them onto the ice. It's really weird. Really weird. Hockey fans, they should all have their heads checked.
I think also it was a great moment. Obviously, I think it's neat when player on one hand, I don't love when, from a fan standpoint, players indicate like, yeah, I like guys on other teams. I'm not hip on that. I want you to hate everybody who is your rival. On the other hand, how about Nathan MacKinnon talking about 87, how much he loves Sidney Crosby as
who
wins the cup. And that was great. I wasn't as impressed when
if he said Gretzky, you wouldn't give it a minute's thought.
That's exactly right. I was just going to say when Tatum wore the Kobe wristband, I was like, so what? But this I thought was pretty cool. I think it's neat when guys idolize other guys.
Your idols.
In close proximity. That's cool. The guys I like, it's cool when they like them.
Speaking of all our idols, Deshaun Watson. I don't know. What did this? It got leaked. It got leaked that the NFL suspension stance indicates that he's going to be gone for at least a year. Now, he already sat a year. This is interesting because I don't like the guy. I don't like what he did, allegedly, although I think after 26, we could throw the allegedly out. But if he did settle with all these women and they don't get to charge him for these other two that are outstanding and he's already been suspended a year, I don't know. I mean, they're in a rough spot, the NFL. I'm surprised they actually came out and said they're going to suspend him a year. Martin, were you surprised that this was publicly leaked?
I wasn't, especially at the timing. It was the middle of a Saturday afternoon. Like, that's an odd time to be dropping this type of the Friday news dump on steroids. Mm-hmm. But I really thought that once Trevor Bauer, when everything came down with him and he's still not pitching, like, I really thought that equivalency would just be made over and over and over and over again as soon as Watson was reinstated to the league. Or, you know, as soon as he touched the field or whatever, as soon as he became clear of all of this, that's all that people were going to say until he got out there and started throwing touchdowns. And I'm not surprised. Like, I just, it would have surprised me, honestly, if it came back with like four games or like something.
I know, but I think he has to be charged here. I kind of do. At least
what he's admitted to already in court. You can sit there and point and be like, all right, dude, that's weird. Like, it's weird. Sure. Like, just your habits are weird. Your way of soliciting massages on Instagram.
Of course, like, but 2 years for weird habits. Again, I don't know why I'm defending the guy, but I'm just saying.
Well, he walked away his first year.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So it was like, and then the Texans didn't want him back either, but like, it's not like he was pressing the door, like trying to get in and they had changed the code on him.
Yeah.
I hear what you're saying, and you know I'm not one who is quick to ascend Mount Pius, Sal, but it is, you know, the standard isn't, you know, the U.S. Justice Code, right, or criminal code or whatever. It's you know, based on PR, and like Calvin Ridley committed no crime, and he's got to sit out the whole season, right?
Right, so that throws everything a little bit out of whack. I get it, they lean towards the penal system. Yeah, sure. So that would make sense that it's more than a year. I don't know. I guess it depends, Martin, how you use that this past year. Is it time served or is it not? And they're saying it's not, right?
I honestly don't feel like it should be time served. Like, because he was already holding out. Like, essentially, he Le'Veon Belled it. And if it would be like if Le'Veon Bell was accused of 24 crimes in the midst of him saying, I want more money, right?
Right.
And it's the same concept.
If he had said, I'm going to rehab, I'm going to sex rehab for this year, if it became less about the contract, then you're saying, okay, that does seem like something, there's a little bit of awareness, and the year off did have something to do with.
Yeah, but the reason why Deshaun Watson didn't play football last year from Deshaun Watson's point of view is because he didn't want to play for the Houston Texans.
Right, okay. I mean,
right, and it's not. This isn't boxing. We're not talking about an individual sport. Deshaun Watson is associated with a team, and now a new team. And as I've been saying for at least 2 months now, and I see Mike Florio and people like that also on board with this sentiment these days, which is, it's the perfect storm against Deshaun Watson and for pro football. The other 31 ownership groups, I mean, you know, like,
oh, yeah,
people can say, well, that can't possibly. Says who? It can't. They can't bring in other stuff that they kind of want to send a message to the rest of the league on, the other ownership groups, which is specifically the Haslams gave $230 million guaranteed. The NFL owners do not. And it's maybe another discussion. I guess it is. For D. Smith and Gene Upshaw and everybody else, the Players Association, with all due respect, is the worst in the professional sports. It's muddied by the fact that the size of the rosters is way bigger than any of the other sports. So that's one factor why guaranteed money ain't great. But also, it's the most collision-y of all the collision sports. And so, obviously, if you're an owner, you don't want to guarantee money for somebody who might, you know, rip a knee and never get to play again. But bottom line is, I'm sure that a large majority of the other ownership groups are in Goodell's ear, and he is their employee, and they're saying, you got to hammer the Haslam. Shame the devil. Well, I don't want guaranteed money to anybody. The fact that it's Deshaun Watson is convenient and a convenient excuse to drop the hammer on Watson. And also,
punish the Browns as much as you're punishing Watson. Is the
that's
thing.
What it is. You can't,
I thought of you,
Shaq. You can't say time spent.
I thought of you, Shaq, because this is kind of my thing with professional wrestling in 1985. Like, I felt like before that, I liked it. It was a niche group of friends that liked it. And then everybody liked it. I'm like, it's how you are with music. As soon as somebody records an album outside of their garage, you don't want anything to do with it. But
I still listen to the music, for the record. I'm resentful of everybody joining
my
good opinions. Here. But okay, go ahead.
Last year, you were one of the few that hated the Browns. It was cool to hate the Browns when you did it. Now everybody hates the Browns because of this, right? And so you're right. So it's harder for you to stand out. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Mark. What were you going to say?
I lost my train of thought because David, you're right about how Dave was consistent. Like, the Browns were the darling of last season. It's like, Diana Brown.
No, he didn't. Right, it was fun.
Wasn't talking about the Bungles as the team that would eventually vanquish the rest of the AFC North, but you were. I was down, but Dave was very, very down. But you were very, very up on the Chargers. So I guess what goes.
I was down, but I was hip down? On the. I was hip on them Bungles too. Who told you they were going to the Super Bowl before the tournament began? Dave Damashek. That's
it. Well, me and TJ. Yeah, was if you had listened to the Lemon Pepper Parlay podcast, football edition, you would have heard.
Good.
Me
so
and
TJ we were all. So we were all right then.
I was talking about week 5, week 4. About how the Bengals were real in the AFC.
Oh, come on. Week 5, week 4, you didn't know Lamar Jackson was going to... Every quarterback in the AFC North was going to get hurt. It was stupid what happened.
I didn't, but I was high on the Bengals. I thought they had a good no-name defense, and Joe Burrow was that guy. Speaking of Lamar Jackson, though, when is it going to be a common everyday conversation that there's an NFL MVP who's about to be an unrestricted free agent?
Yeah, I know.
A free agent if he doesn't sign a contract.
He's the next big one, for sure. Yeah,
but you want to talk about guaranteed money. Like,
I think it's now. I think now that there's a lull, now that the green machine is out and there's that no real sports on the calendar here, the 8-year-old green machine team is out, I think you're going to start hearing more about that. I also think you're going to hear if Deshaun Watson is, if they announce this soon, that he's suspended a year, I think the LIV Tour is going to offer him money to play. Does he take that? Does he take it? What if they offer him $1 million just to play golf, just as a curiosity? Wait, does he take it? Does he go? What happens?
It'd be unbelievable. Maybe he becomes the first overall pick in the LIV Football League.
Yeah.
They branch out. Why not?
Or the guy, whatever.
About Dave, the NFLPA's got no real juice. The turnover's too great. Hell, there's a new football league every year. I can think of 3 off the top of my head.
That's right. I'm not going to single any sports book out because they're all on the same page with this and they're all doing the same thing. But gambling wise on Deshaun Watson. So there's no win totals or will they make the playoffs on the Browns. You could get those for any other of the 31 teams. Is it 52? It's 52 states, but 32 teams, right? Okay. Yeah. So you can't bet win totals. You can't bet win totals. You can't bet playoffs. You could still bet the Browns to win the division, the conference, the Super Bowl. All right, that's weird, not knowing we have no information. You could bet Deshaun Watson to win MVP at 60-1. Is that irresponsible that they'll take your money like that on bets that don't have a single chance of winning? Not only, like, if this guy, I'm trying to think, if he played 5 games, he'd have to throw for 1,000 yards a game, and then still nobody would vote for him. Right, Martin? I mean, 60-1? Yeah.
The only thing I would question is I wonder if there is some type of stipulations where if like the guy doesn't play for the entire year,
you get it back.
That is voided.
I don't think so. I don't think MVP works like that because remember who did we have for comeback player? Well, I didn't get my Zion money back. That's for sure. For most improved or whatever it was. I lost that bet. No, he didn't. There was a lot of footage of him doing windmill dunks towards the end, but that I don't think counted. So I don't know. I just think it's like, we're just going to steal your money here. It's not fair. Right.
I mean, here's the thing. Y'all getting all this money anyway? Like, I mean, think about the average bettor. We lose in general. So y'all already winning. So like something like this, like it'd be one thing if it was like I bet on a different sports book. I bet that will Antonio Brown be arrested? Right. It was 2019 or whatever. And the video had just come out of him throwing stuff at the people who were trying to move stuff out of his Florida home.
Yeah. It's like a dark bet.
But hey, I bet it.
A win's a win. Is that what we're
like?
Hit?
Every so often, they have those up there. Will Donald Trump get divorced? Or, you know, so on and so forth. And like, yes, minus 400, no, plus 8,000 or whatever.
Yeah.
And I bet, yes, Antonio Brown will be arrested. First of all, I got it at 8-1. Then it dropped to 3.5-1. And then it cashed a week later. But, but yeah, if it's a bet like that, I feel like that's something that is like,
no, that could go the ultimate way. Prop. Yeah, but that could go either. And I get it. There are some like foolish bets like Iguodala to win MVP at 100-1 of the finals that, you know, like, oh, please stop taking people's money like that. And then it hits. But come on, he's not going to play, or he's going to play five games and or nobody's voting for him. Right, Check? It's not fair.
Yeah, the other part of what the length of this suspension is going to be for Watson is there are people smarter than I and smart as you, the two of you guys, who have alerted me to the fact that what the league issues as its, you know, its first volley, or like this is what the league is handing down, you can expect that the NFLPA is going to sue them. And try and get it lowered. And based on the people I talk to, it makes it sound like they have a decent chance of getting it lowered to, you know, 8 or 10 games. Mm-hmm. It's all a bad look, of course, but you're right. It's a bad look as well, is that I can't bet Deshaun Watson season unders, statistical unders at this point. That's I had noticed that. That is pretty funny, because I did see. I thought, what are you talking about? I just saw the Browns yesterday at plus, I don't remember, 1,000 to win the conference. That is funny that they're offering Browns as a team, but not win totals, not specific to Sean.
So they're exactly plus 1,000. They're 10-1 to win the AFC, and probably what, 20-1 to win the Super Bowl. Yeah, 20-1 to win the Super Bowl, and they have them at plus 250 to win the North. You're right. No Deshaun Watson player props, because we don't know how many games, but they're pretty confident enough to hang an MVP number on him, which just seems like, I'm trying to see who else. Let's see. So if the player prop, okay. Season
Does
awards.
Deshaun Watson have better MVP odds than Jonathan Taylor?
That's exactly what I'm looking for here. So 60-1. So Tua and Watson have the same odds. Derrick Henry is 50-1, but Watson 60-1. Not that much different.
Okay, Justin, you know what it is?
Yeah.
You know what it is, Al? That's what's irresponsible. Why is Deshaun Watson 60-1?
Well, that's what I mean. Right. How'd they even come up with that number? Like, make it 500-1, because he's not going to have nearly as many. Best case scenario is his family is voting on this award. And then the second thing that has to happen is he has to have better stats than the Rodgers, the Allens, and the Mahomes, and he's not going to do that in 8 games, right? Where's 60-1 come from?
The only way it could happen, the Browns start out 0-8, and they come back, finish, what is it, it'll be 9-8 now, with a 17-week season, and win the division or claw, but like...
But what would his numbers be like in 9 games? Is he going to have, like 3,000 yards passing?
You know, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what...
I know. Because
at the end of the day, all of this is going to be... There's no way that they make Deshaun Watson the NFL MVP. That's just impossible.
That's
to
the
believe.
Second part
after
of this.
After Aaron Rodgers and immunization or whatever, like back to back. No,
this is going to drive you crazy. Cooper Kupp is 75-1. Come on,
that's
in some, you know, he's top 3 player in the league, top 5. He's going to play.
Marty, I got
games,
bad news
games,
for you. If you think that the voters will ascend to Mount Pius to keep Deshaun Watson down once he starts playing, you're wrong. Ray Lewis was the Super Bowl MVP. I mean, remember, legitimately, were you too young to remember that?
No,
that,
I mean, remember,
sincerely,
no, I remember that.
Because that was like, I was like, oh my God, what a nightmare for the league that he's not just getting, oh, he's in the Super Bowl now. Oh, yeah. Oh, he won. Oh, he's the MVP. I thought, oh, that's going to cause the, you know, the media to cry. It didn't. You know, the league survived. No. Society, the big blue marble continued to spin after.
Yeah,
all that.
But everybody kills people now and then. It's just I don't know, this massage thing.
Back to your point about the live tour.
I won a like a Pepsi, I believe,
gross
challenge or something, like box tops or something, because there was a kick return for a touchdown in that Super Bowl, I believe, and then because of that, I won something. I won like a free Ravens hat.
There was a punt return. What was it?
It was a special teams touchdown. I believe it was a kick return, but I'm not 100% sure. Yeah. But I do remember that. But the difference, at least in my head, for that moment,
Patrick
that's
Johnson,
one game,
right?
Jacoby Jones or Patrick Johnson? Was that no? Jacoby Jones was after, right? I don't know. Go ahead.
I feel like it was B.J. Sam. I'm not 100. But
which one's this? Ravens Giants or Ravens? Yes. Ravens Giants. Yeah.
Ravens Giants. I thought it was B.J. Sam from Mandeville, Louisiana, but I'm not 100% sure.
I may be transposing that in my head.
We'll find it.
A little kick returner. Yeah.
Jermaine Lewis.
Jermaine Lewis. Right.
We'll find it. So you won. Yeah.
That's one. And the whole point of it, we're talking about one game in that moment where Deshaun Watson. The narrative over months and months and months would be too much.
Right. Why am I seeing Ron Dixon and Jermaine Lewis? Were there two of them? No. I don't know what it is. Wikipedia doesn't know what the hell they're
Joel
doing.
Joel is messing
with that. That is
Ron Dixon and Jermaine Lewis. Is that right, Joel? Back-to-back?
Back-to-back kick return.
Oh, wow. Wow. I don't know what to believe with Joel because on the side, he's sending us pictures of Cale Makar shirtless. And Eddie's like, that's not Cale Makar. And fuck all of you people. All I said was I could beat up a tiny baseball player. Is that right, Spaghetti?
I've never claimed to be able to beat up any athlete. But Jose Altuve, he's legitimately like 5'5". And yeah. It's just like, I don't understand why people think like, oh, you play baseball, you can hit a ball, so you must be a really strong guy. Like, that makes zero sense to me.
Yeah, but big strong. Alonzo claims to be a big strong guy.
That is a very big strong guy.
All right.
He promised he was going to get Putin like 2-3 months ago, and he's still out and about.
Putin's an athlete too. I don't even know what to believe. We've seen Putin's puck handling skills. Right? He's another athlete. You promised you could beat up.
Exactly. Oh, all right. Yeah. I'm glad you mentioned that. By the way. Mm-hmm. Did you see Alexander Ovechkin playing soccer?
This is really going to end all the soccer enthusiasts.
You mean to tell me that Mike Trout and Russell Westbrook and I don't know whoever else you can summon that would project as like a good all-around athlete, we couldn't get a collective of the best American athletes and whip the rest of the world if you gave us 2-3 years
what
to
did
practice
he do?
Up? Of course we could.
Ovechkin
scored a goal in a professional soccer game.
They let him do it. It's like a special needs kid. They just let him get in there and score a goal. That's what they did, right?
I think
hockey players are more uniquely suited to play soccer because of the way they have to move on the ice.
Yeah.
Like just the style, like in basket, like I feel like hockey players don't get enough credit for the idea that you have to do it all on skates. And like, I think that also helps because it's like
Christian McCaffrey, Saquon Barkley. I would just
shut up.
You'll win a gold for the world, or whatever it's called.
Eddie, would you be able to best soccer great Alex Ovechkin in a fight?
No way in hell. I'm realistic, Sal.
I gotcha. All right, good. I like to hear that. Hey, let's give FanDuel some love. This baseball season turned K's into cash, big hits into big wins with FanDuel Sportsbook. Right now, new customers could step up to the plate with a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. Just sign up, place your first bet, and FanDuel will give you up to $1,000 back in free bets. If you don't win, it has great promotions every day. It's a safe and secure app, and you get paid fast. There's no better place to bet America's pastime than on America's number one sportsbook. Download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and sign up using promo code Extra Points. Do that to get started with your no sweat first bet up to $1,000. Hey, I have a same game parlay right there on the FanDuel banner, FanDuel.com/extra points. Go there. It involves Megan Connolly's White Sox. They're going to win. Lucas Giolito is going to have 6 or more strikeouts. Tim Anderson's going to record a hit, and there's going to be over 6.5 runs scored. And you get a nice plus 336 price for that same game parlay. Go get it right there. Let's take a quick break and we'll talk about LeBron's card. My goodness, $2.5 million. All right, actually, let's do our play of the day right now. Martin, start us off. What do we got? We have baseball and Wimbledon right now as far as daily plays going.
Yeah, I'm going with baseball, and unfortunately, I'm going the opposite of the same game parlay you just read. I'm going all L.A. parlay today.
Oh.
Taking the Dodgers, and I'm taking the Angels. That pays out right now at 161, a straight money line parlay. The Dodgers are 7-0 in Anderson's last 7 starts on grass.
He's amazing.
The Rockies are 0-4 in cool his last four starts on grass. So, and this game will be played on grass for those curious. And the White Sox are 5-22 in their last 27 times coming down to the Big A.
So I can't go by that. Can't go by that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's just a trend. I don't know. Yeah. I might be. I don't know, Sal. It might be a small sample size. 27 games. I don't know. What do you think?
I'll tell you what, though. The Dodgers, if you're ever going to take the run line, -1.5, 41 of their 45 wins have come by two or more runs. I think, Sheck, you mentioned something like that a few weeks ago, or was it the Parlay Kid? I don't know, but 41 of 45, they're blowing these teams out, or at least winning by two or more. All right, Sheck, what's your pick?
Well, Aaron Judge did it again on Sunday in the big rally. So, too, did Giancarlo Stanton. Do you want to get crazy? Do you want to not just survive? Do you really want to live it up on this random Monday now that there's no hockey or basketball and all we have is baseball and projections for pro football? If that, if I just described you, how about Giancarlo and the Judge going deep against the lowly Athletics? Plus 10-20 if they both do, if you want to keep it a little more modest. Both are setting the ball out of the park at not historic rates, but it does feel like just about every day one or both of them is getting it. If you want to go Judge plus 220, Giancarlo plus 310, I think one of those two's got to happen. Like I say, live it up and go with both.
That Yankee team played like absolute dog shit this weekend, and they got no hit, and they had two hits going into the ninth inning Friday night, and they had no hits going into the seventh inning or one hit through seven innings last night, and they split the series with the Astros. Like, it's got two out of four. It's ridiculous.
No match for Cousin Sal's unlucky charms on Twitter. He cursed them thing. Yanks.
I know, I
you
did.
You helped them. You cursed Yankees haters. Right.
Yeah, the Mets had just lost. I'm like, I got to distract from the Mets loss on Sunday. I'm like, oh, the Yankees, you may have seen their last hit Friday night because they had gone 16 innings at that point without getting a hit. And not only did they break it up in the seventh, Stanton home run. They tie it, and then a 6-3. I mean, you had Yankees -1.5. My God, what a win that is for you. And by the way, the Red Sox, here come the Red Sox. They've won 7 in a row. Yankees are still 11 games up. This is disgusting. This is disgusting.
It's crazy.
We got to get to football.
Yeah. I was just trying to look, but as always, that Yankees lineup is just a bunch of beasts, a bunch of monsters playing baseball. So none of them are intriguing enough to ask this. But I'll stay in New York to ask this for this one here, Sal. Make the line: Eddie Spaghetti versus Danny Dimes in a fight to the death.
Boy, I don't know. You're gonna have to chase him, and then he'll eventually fall, and then what happens?
on the ground.
Well, after that, he's on the ground. And
that's true. That's what Eddie,
like Eddie says, if he gets him on the ground, it's quiet.
Where he works his magic. I'm going to say, Dimes is only 5'8". I don't know if you guys knew this. No, I'm going to say Dimes -175. Is that fair?
So not a blowout. Not a decisive.
He would absolutely kill me. And also, I would never fight him because we're actually friends. Like we met way back years back in Nashville. So we've been friends. I would never fight a friend.
If you break his arm, you have a chance to win the division. All right, don't fight him. That's fine. That's fine. You don't have to do that. Hey, let me give my pick. Rockies Dodgers, back to your game, Martin. I had it under 12. It's 11.5 now. I'll go under 11.5. Everyone's like, oh, Coors Field, million runs scored. 5 of the last 6 and 7 of the last 9 at Coors Field have failed to go over 12. 2 of the first 3 in Colorado when the Dodgers played them went under. Rockies have Chad Cole. He's not bad, actually, 3.29 ERA at home. Tyler Anderson's been ridiculous, as Martin pointed out, for the Dodgers. 8-0. With a 3 ERA and like a 2.08 ERA in his last 7. So those are our plays of the day right now. All right, let's get to this LeBron card. Now, what happened? This is a card that sold for $2.4 million. I guess it's a card. There is cardboard. And then there's 3 patches, 3 NBA logo patches. Just the NBA logo patch from his Lakers, Cavs, and Heat jerseys. 1 from each. I know Drake invested like $200,000 to get this card. He bought all these boxes. He didn't get it. So Drake is done. That guy needs money. But I don't know. $2.4 million, the highest sale price for a card that was pulled and sold within the same year. Well, are we getting out of control, Martin? Although you just showed me your shoe collection that goes for like $30,000 behind you.
Well, I didn't get it all at once.
Gotcha. Right.
You know, this, yeah, you this, worked these for were, this. Yeah. And a lot of these were gifts. So if somebody wanted to gift me the LeBron card for $2.4 million, you know what this is? Just people have too much money. Because this is like how, like, what? We don't even know what games it was from, right? Like it's
no,
just
eight- I was looking at it. It's just patches. It's just like not even the jersey. It's just patches.
Well, yeah. It's like, we don't even know if it's like, the, okay, if you told me that this was the patch that LeBron had on when he had 48 on the Pistons in the second right. half or whatever, then that's one thing. Or if this is the patch that he had on when he won the first title for Cleveland, mm-hmm. you know, that's one thing. But it's just like, this is just a random Tuesday. No, like, no. $2.4 million, it can't be worth that. But again, I've never even came close to sniffing $1 million, so I don't know what I would do if I had five or six or eight, but I can't imagine I would spend it on a basketball card.
Well, it got us thinking. The captain of the riverboat approached me. He's like, hey, you, Martin, Dave, jump on the riverboat, play my game. I'll put odds on it. If you could own one jersey. Now, this is a jersey turned into a card. I don't know. It's mostly cardboard, but it's a patch. But if you could own a jersey for nostalgic purposes, money, no object. Which would you choose? Babe Ruth's 1927 jersey, one of his jerseys from that 2017 when he hit 60 home runs, even odds. Jackie Robinson's first game. Oh, for God's sakes, it's got to be the winner. Plus 180. Wilt's 100-point game jersey, 5-1 odds. Notre Dame, Rudy. Yeah, game-worn jersey, 100-1 odds. Or you can go Field, 5-2 odds. Set the table here for a check.
Well, there. I mean, listen. I've done so much work in this field. It's hard to even know where to start. I'll go Field here. First of all, you know, obviously anybody from the banks of the Three Rivers, probably a first choice would be Bill Mazeroski's 1960 World Series winning home run jersey number one. But mm-hmm. the problem with that is it's a tank top. You know, like it's the regular jersey, but then they wear the black right. underneath. So you really practically wouldn't wear that out and about. Maybe Frenchie Fuqua's jersey that the ball may or may not have hit before it bounded over to Franco Harris on the
American. I was going to say that. No, I wasn't going to say that. Go ahead. Yeah.
I resent Tom Dempsey's two iron of a shoe, but it would be cool to have. You ever seen that thing at the Pro Football Hall of Fame?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, it's a
this
club.
Is jersey.
You ever
though.
See
this
it? He made a 60. Oh, I thought it was all. Right. I thought it was all.
No,
right.
no, just one jersey. Because
Roy Hobbs, NL pennant winning jersey.
What do you have
run?
A problem with the guy kicking a 63-yard field goal with half of a foot? Like I feel like that should
noble.
Be impressive.
It's noble on one hand. On the other hand, have you seen it? It looks like a sledgehammer.
It's so not it's on the hand. Little. It's on the other foot. But yeah, I know what you're saying. Not on the one hand.
Right.
On the one foot.
How about this one? How about Michael Jordan, because he famously didn't make the varsity wow. team when he first tried out? How about his JV jersey?
Pretty
That'd
fun.
Be a cool one. That'd be a cool one to have. As far as that goes, since you said just jerseys, maybe this rules it out. But Brady's infamous combine boxer shorts. Those
oh,
would
yeah.
be a nice item. That I mean, not that, you know, I don't know what you do with them. That's up to you what happens.
You
in
would
your
just sniff them all
you,
day,
still
I guess.
Would be,
yeah.
Yeah, still would be kind of cool to have. And yeah, I'd love to have the Warren Beatty jersey that he wore, Tom Jarrett wore, I should say, when the Rams beat the Steelers in the Super Bowl in Heaven Can Wait. That would be a cool one to have. A lot of ones from movies, as it turns out. I like the Rudy idea.
All right.
I'll stop there because I could just go on and on.
Otherwise. No, I know. I asked you to pick one and you picked 13, now, but the captain's going to kick you. He's going to throw you
off
the
chair. How about Sly Stallone's hatch goaltender jersey and when the Allied POWs mm-hmm. played the Nazi Scourge in
That's
in
a good
victory.
One, too.
That'd be a good one, too.
All right, Martin, give us your top 35.
The man's got half a foot. It's 1967. He's kicking in the mud at Tulane Stadium, right. and he makes a 63-yard field goal, of which has only really been bested a few times and a mile high up in the altitude. No, yeah. this guy was in the swamps of New Orleans. Like, what are right. you talking about? The next thing you're going to say, what, like Jim Abbott was better because he only had to focus on throwing the ball with one hand?
I was going to say, Shaq doesn't like the NCAA champions that don't have, like the wrestlers who have no legs because their upper body is massive, and that's where they get
What are you talking about?
Yeah. That's not true. But by the way, you do bring up Jim Abbott. We need, as a society, to celebrate that more. That's crazy.
Oh, so we can celebrate Jim Abbott.
We don't look back on that enough.
But not Tom Dempsey, who can play football with one foot.
What the hell? He was throwing the ball and then putting the glove. He would have the glove and put it on and feel his position in Major League Baseball. What the hell?
I believe that both of them are incredible feats of the human condition. You are the one trying to downplay one. That's
one was a head-on kicker.
All right, the captain.
The two iron in
the captain is rolling his eyes, and one of his eyes is covered with a patch, and I could still see that he's rolling.
Well, you know what? If the captain has a problem, I have a problem with this damn list, because you got Babe Ruth 1927, good. Jackie Robinson's first game, also good. Wilt 100-point game, good. Rudy game worn jersey 100-1. Why? Because he watched 100 games and only played in one. Rudy was not a good football player. He was the manager of the team. You want to talk about a Make-A-Wish Foundation kid? The only difference about Rudy, he didn't have anything that was really bothering him except he sucked at football. Why on earth, Deshaun Watson 60-1 odds? This is irresponsible. Rudy's game worn jersey 100-1 odds. That's terrible.
Well, Rudy was taller than Cale Makar, though.
You're not picking any of them? You're just telling us which one's terrible?
Well, it just threw me off. Like, what are we doing Rudy's game-worn jersey? But no, what I would say, the jersey for nostalgic purposes, what I would have is an Atlanta Falcons number 7 Ron Mexico jersey.
Oh, that's fun. That's a good one. All right. Eddie, do you have a problem with Martin's? Eddie, you could beat up Rudy, right?
I don't know an actual Notre Dame fan, like worships Rudy or cares about Rudy. So like Martin's whole thing is like, I don't know. Should I get like, who was the guy, who was the cornerback of the Rams versus the Saints that when he gave the DPI, they didn't call it. I should get that.
No, Roby Coleman.
Yeah. I should get one of those. The Rudy stuff does not bother me in the least. Like, I don't care about Rudy at all. I just want Notre Dame to win.
All right.
The concept that Rudy is like,
well, it's a great movie.
Take it up with the captain.
It's a great movie. It's just not a true story. Like the idea that
it is. He's a real guy.
He's a real guy. Yes, he is a real guy. But if they made a movie about how all the starters on the Michigan football team just walked in and laid their jerseys down on the coach's table, on the coach's desk, and before kicking me off,
it's a movie. Sure, I got to play.
It wouldn't have happened either. That also wouldn't be a true story.
Right. All right. All right. Winning time is nonsensical too, but everybody loves it. What are you going to do?
At least it's rooted in fact. Rudy Rudiger just existed as a man.
It's Rudy, in fact.
The rest of
fact.
It was just all completely made up. But like Michael Vick, I'd be the only person to get away with something like Ron Mexico.
Give me a minute, because I'm about to get melancholy. If I had to choose a jersey, I would pick my Uncle Frank. Actually played minor league ball from the New York Giants in the late 40s, early 50s, before he got called out to join the Army for the Korean War. He had to go over before he was shipped out. He played, you know, there were a lot of minor league. I think there were probably 11 levels of minor leagues. He played with Harvey Haddix. Sheck, you know Harvey Haddix, pitched the no-hitter and lost the game. He played with him. I would kill to wear his jersey just once. So that is who I can care less about that jersey. I'm taking Kenny Powers, Myrtle Beach Merman. Come on. Kenny Powers. I love you, Uncle Frank, but look at Kenny Powers. Any of his jerseys. You've seen it? Wow. Martin, I don't think you've
Uncle
seen that.
Uncle Frank, you're fucking out.
Uncle Frank is out.
Looked like Harvey Haddix, as a matter of fact.
He did a little bit. Dive,
if you want to look him up. But I like the cinematic ones more than I like the real ones.
Kenny Powers. Come on.
What about for the Charleston Chiefs? One of the Hanson brothers? Those would be cool to have. Like I say, Roy Hobbs. How about Jimmy Chitwood?
His name from Ferris Bueller? Right, the Red Wings.
Gordie Howe.
Yeah, the Gordie Howe jersey.
Well, his name was Cameron, but he was wearing a Gordie Howe jersey.
Right, that's right. That's right. All right, there you go. I don't know. I don't know if we did the captain right or wrong here, but there you go. That's our time.
The captain doesn't deserve to get done right.
He doesn't?
Quite honest. I mean,
by the way, the answer is Jackie Robinson. For God's sakes, his number is everybody wears his jersey one day a year. His number's all over every stadium. And if you had the jersey of Jackie Robinson, the first game he ever played, or the biggest moment in sports history, well, of course you would pick that. And I think I would probably get invited to a person of color's house if I had that jersey.
I don't know, Sally. Let's not jump to rash assumptions. But right. Dave, I got a question for you. Yeah. I bet that I would set the odds at like -150.
Go ahead.
That Dave would know. -200. That Dave would know the jersey number for Babe Ruth, Jackie Robinson, and Will Chamberlain, and not know Rudy's jersey number.
I think you're right. The first three, but Rudy's number
45. No, I'm going to weigh off. I don't know.
Oh no, Sal is very close. I think it. I think you know
you
what.
You better. I think is, Sal is right?
Exactly right. I think
I
it
swear
is
to God, 45. I didn't look
I'm
it up.
I'm thinking 46.
It's 45.
But I think Sal's right. It's
spaghetti. 45. You know this?
Yes.
It's 45. My brother owns the jersey, and also I've seen the movie like 100 times. It's 45.
Wow.
He's on the cover again. Like it's yeah. a movie. It's
Martin. We don't did you know that, or you were just,
an inspiring
that
was your movie? Big... If Michigan that... football mattered, they'd have a movie about Michigan football.
Oh wow. Martin, was that your big "I told you so" moment that nobody would know it was 45?
No, I mean, I was just curious if that Dave, the uniformant, would know.
Oh, but, I see.
You know, he didn't even get a chance to answer because, you know, people have to defend for. Sorry. I mean, look, I mean, I feel you. I feel Notre Dame is it's all smoke mirrors. I get it.
Like, don't tell me about the worst TV one ever. And, yeah, well, listen, I'm not going down that. Talk about overinflated legends. Tim Brown won a Heisman Trophy because he returned a couple of punts on TV while he was wearing the Fighting Irish helmet. So it's cockney.
By the way,
I'm sorry, Sal. I got one more thing here because I was not born into Michigan, right? I grew up in Louisiana watching SEC football. I thought everybody up there. They always got their asses kicked whenever they came down south and played anybody. So I was like, what does this even matter? I don't have this idea that Michigan football is like, y'all have heard me a million times saying like, yo, the rules don't matter anymore. We're coming up on a year for NIL. Why haven't you just used the endowment for the MFs who started Google to like really just pay and make this program what everybody thinks it should be?
Right.
The difference between Michigan and Notre Dame is Notre Dame thinks that it is a national power, but every time they come down there, they still get their ass whooped. And it's all movies and all that other stuff. Like, yeah, Notre Dame's a better brand because they have their own TV channel. I get that. But they still get their ass whooped in games that matter. The same spaghetti. Way Michigan does.
Go ahead, Spaghetti. What's your rebuttal there?
The rebuttal is, like, I mean, there's only four teams that ever win championships in college football. At least Notre Dame gets there. It took how many coaches through Michigan, how many years to finally get to a semifinal?
If Michigan
Notre Dame is at least consistently getting there. They're at least consistently ranked in the top 10.
And played Navy and the Citadel and all of that, you know.
But their strength of schedule is extremely tough. And then they also have academic roles, which lets, like, they have to get to the championship with like 3-star players. Like, come on, you're in the Big Ten. Mm. You could pick and choose whatever athlete you want. You guys came and beat Michigan State. So don't even go.
I don't disagree with any of this opinion. I just don't think that Notre Dame is like that much greater. Like, I know, like, Notre Dame and Michigan is 6 1/2 and a half dozen in the other, whatever.
What do we have? Like, how many weeks? We're still, July and August. No,
This is what football brings, no, rivalries.
I wake up Saturday morning, I'm like, boy, it'd be nice if there were a soccer game on or something, an EPL, but football, we got to get to it. We got to, what is it, September 4th? At the shoe?
We're 72 days away from NFL kickoff.
Yeah, all right. But let's get to college first, and then we could talk about all this. It's fun. By the way, it comes all full circle now with this uniform thing. Is Babyface has a good recommendation for jerseys. What did you say, Babyface?
Oh, I was just saying, of course, there's Jose Altuve's jersey that got ripped off to reveal he was wearing a buzzer. I mean, that would be a great one. And then
I want to see Spaghetti wear that, try to put that on. That's what I want to say. We come to work in Altuve's jersey.
His baby size wouldn't fit.
That's what I mean. It'd be fun watching you bust out of that thing at the office as we're all eating popcorn. All right, there you go. That was a fun hour, right? We did it. We went over hockey, and I should mention our prop quiz winner was Greg Metz. Got the good name. It's M-E-T-Z. I would have changed it to M-E-T-S. I would root for the Mets, and I'd change my name. He got 7 right out of 10. That's our prop quiz winner, extrapoints.com/arcade. You can download, subscribe, review all of our podcasts. Check them out there. We have free picks every day. Shaq, -3 coming up tomorrow. You got some good guests this week, right?
Word on the street is that we'll be talking to number 2-4 himself, Ike Taylor, Pittsburgh Steelers legend, old pal, catching up with him so we can continue the conversation as it grows ever closer. Pro football and its college little brother are both on their way before we know it.
Let's do it.
Another guy who played
Michigan, Notre Dame,
and didn't get a movie made about him. Ike Taylor.
If we could do anything, if this were, you mentioned pro wrestling. If this were pro wrestling, we would immediately have the fight made between LSU and Notre Dame. That's what we need. I wish that were on the schedule for 2022.
Fight. Oh,
even
I see.
Without
it should be.
All right, let's get out of the USFL season, and then it'll officially feel like the NFL is upon us. There you go. We will be back Thursday. Let's do it. Reminded everyone out there, you may feel like underdogs, but please remember, You're all my favorites.